And my question for us this morning, really, as we enter into a season of Advent and we enter close into Christmas, what was it, the reason for the season? Who's your king? What does your king look like? Who is king in your life? We enter into the season this afternoon. We're going to be putting up our Christmas decorations. I'd rather do it the day before Boxing Day and take them down after Boxing Day. Humbug. We're going to be putting our Christmas decorations up this afternoon, getting the tree out, looking towards the festive time that we're in, spending far too much money on presents. Not for Jack, but for me. I was told that the youth are saying in this morning, because Chipper's preaching, he's relevant to young people. I have no idea what that means. Maybe it's because I wear skinny jeans and I've got Converse trainers on. Or maybe it's just because I shout a lot. I moved all the microphones out because when I speak, I love to take the stage. And because there's something exciting about preaching the Word of God and engaging in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's who we're talking about this morning. Who's your king? What does your king look like this morning? You know, I don't know if you've been watching recently on Netflix. Netflix? You do get our fix on Netflix, don't we, Netflix? I mean, we're big Netflix fans. And hey, there's one other. Good. You're forgiven, brother. We're big Netflix fans, and sometimes it can feel like that Netflix is becoming our king. And we've been watching, me and Anna have just been watching The Crown. Anybody watching The Crown? I believe it's like the most expensive series, episodes that Netflix have ever produced. And it's the story of this amazing human being who becomes queen of our nation for well, how many years is it? 150 years, it feels like. And she's a wonderful lady, wonderful woman, becoming queen. And we're just in the early couple of episodes of it and watching how the relationship between Prince Philip and the queen who's just about to be crowned is changing and unfolding. And Prince Philip asked the queen this amazing question. Are you my wife or are you my queen? And she turns around to him, and I don't know whether this is word for word or whatever, but it's good in the series. She turns around to him and says, I'm both. I'm both. And their relationship is unfolding. And the dynamics of being his wife and his queen are unfolding before our eyes. And what I want to talk about is the king of the universe this morning. We're not talking about a queen who's just the queen of a country, but we're talking about the king of mankind. The king who's beautiful. The king who's amazing. You know, whatever it is that's king in your life, whatever it is that is king that you give yourself to is determined really by the time and energy that you give to it. And as we just think about that question, what is it in your life? What is it in my life? And I'm asking myself the same question. Where's my energy go? Where's my time spent? And that will, I think, reflect on who we have as our king in our lives. I want us to, if you would, turn to John 1. And we're just going to look at the prologue of John 1 and just the first few verses there, and I really don't know how much I'm going to get through. But we'll see. You know, the Bible isn't written as some academic exercise to make us more intelligent, to give us more knowledge. But the Bible is written as an invitation to taste and see the Lord is good. It's an invitation for us to acknowledge and live in the goodness of God. And we've already heard this morning prophetically through Esther about the goodness of God, grabbing hold of the goodness of God, living in the good of the goodness of God. And that's what the Bible's about. The Bible wants to open up to us in revelation of who God is and his goodness towards us, to experience the goodness of God as King and Saviour in our lives. In times of uncertainty, politically, Brexit, Trump, ooh, a few laughs there, coups in Turkey, terror attacks all around the globe. We're in times of such uncertainty. But yet there's one thing that always will remain. There's one thing that will never change. There's one thing that we can always hold on to, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone what's going to happen next year, or what's going to happen in the next 10 years. Well, we don't even know what Trump's going to say tomorrow. He comes out with all sorts of stuff, don't he, on a daily basis, it seems to be. But we do know that the Word of God is the truth of God. The Word of God is the grace of God. And we love him. And he's amazing this morning. Verse 1 from chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human desire. Nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen this. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. He came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. From the law, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. I love those verses, and they're beautiful verses that just capture us. And it talks about in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. It's a wonderful opening verse where John emphasizes both the prehistorical and the historical aspects of Jesus as the Word of God right at the beginning of creation. Whether we're seven-day literalists or whether we think it was over a longer period of time, it's kind of irrelevant, I guess. Still God created it all. Still God who's in control. Yet Jesus, as the Word, was right there, right at the beginning of creation. Just as the earth was formed and Adam and Eve were formed. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit were right there, right at the beginning. And even the text shows us that even pre-existence, Jesus was there. Eternity past and eternity future. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit reign and rule. I don't know about you. I've been a Christian for a few years, 35 years more. I mean, I know most of you don't think I'm that old. But I can't understand that. I can't grasp how wide, how deep, how high the love of God is and how they existed in harmony and community together, pre-existence and eternity past, that it's no beginning and there's no end. This is the King that we worship. This is the one who we give our lives to. Can we put that first slide up? I don't know if it's going to work. King of life. Jesus is King of life. Verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing. Nothing. Not some things. Not a bit of it. But nothing was made that has been made. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is the one who makes it all. He's the one who gives life and life more abundantly. In him was life. This theme of life is unfolded throughout the Gospel of John. What does life mean? In this context, it means life is in life that we have and we breathe, but it's also talking about the supernatural life. The AD, that would do, thank you. AD, just walking into, just experiencing. It gives life and gives that abundant life, gives that supernatural life. Nothing has its being without the breath of God in it, without God breathing life in it. And we might think that times we're doing pretty well. You might think at times, you know, work's going well, my business is growing. University, college, whatever's doing all right. School's about to hit my GCSEs and I'm a little bit nervous. But actually, it's going to be all right. I got me good results or whatever it is. And you might think things are going pretty well for you. But you know, the reality of the situation is that it's only because Jesus has given you breath. It's only because Jesus, the Father and Holy Spirit, has breathed life into you that things can go well. Don't do it on our own merit. We can't do it because of who we are. We do it because of who he is. That you acknowledge the truth of who Jesus is or you don't, or whether you're in a situation that you don't believe in God and you think it's all religious pomp and ceremony, it's kind of irrelevant because it's still God who's in control. It's still God who loves you. It's still God who gives you breath to live and to breathe and to have your being. Because Jesus is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the sustainer of all things. And nothing, absolutely nothing, adds its breath without him. Absolutely nothing. Even creation itself, even the flowers of a field, even the trees. And some of you are ramblers. I ramble on all the time. I'll probably be rambling here about 1:30 when none of you are sat there. But some of you are ramblers and you go out in the countryside and you love the countryside and you love experiencing and seeing the views and the scenic views, etc. It's because God put it in there. It's God who put it in place. Right at the beginning of creation, that the Trinity come up with a marvelous plan to build a beautiful creation that we can enjoy even here all these thousands of years later, because he's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. Life is unfolded throughout the gospel, and the term is used 36 times just in John alone. It's used more times in John than any of the other gospels or any of the other books. But it's about life. It's about that life, that supernatural life, that abundant life. Where are you getting your life from? The question is this morning. Where's your life coming from? I don't know if you heard on the news this week, but I think he was an 82-year-old guy this week. His wife died recently, I think it was earlier in the year, and he was just getting bored with life. Just getting bored. He was at home and didn't have a lot to do, etc. And just got bored, so he put an advert out to get a job. And he's got a job now working in a cafe. And I just thought, that's beautiful. 82-year-old man, still wanting to be industrious, still wanting to work and give his bit to community and to life and to gain life for himself. And to capture an enthusiasm for life himself at 82 years old. Life in Christ is a gift to mankind. And in fact, he is the life. He is the life. That 82-year-old man, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. I don't know whether he loves the Lord. But ultimately, we're not going to get our our joy, our peace, our fulfillment from our workplace, from a job, if working in a cafe or whether it's working in an office or wherever it might be. You're not ultimately going to get you the fullness of life through your family, through your wife, through your husband. All these things, they're all great and they're all important and we value them and I love them. But ultimately, the only place we get life, the supernatural life that fulfills inside of me, that gives meaning to life, to my life, is through Jesus himself. He's the only true one that can do it. King of light, he's the King of light. Verse 5. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John, and John goes on to talk about Jesus and who Jesus is. Light shines in darkness. I don't know if you've ever been in a really dark place, literally, as in a cave or anything. I remember going to Canada a number of years ago, and we went walking and into, we found this massive cave, and we went into, we had these torches and stuff, went really, really deep, seemed to be walking for ages. There was a whole group of us. And we got to like the bottom of this cave area, and it was this like big kind of cavern thing, massive it was. And we turned the lights off, and it went completely black. I mean, I literally couldn't see the hand in front of my face. Completely darkness. And the only thing that overcame that darkness was putting the torch on, putting the light on. And light extinguishes darkness. It's like when you go into a dark room, if you go into a dark bedroom or into your house late at night, the first thing I assume you go for, we do, is for the light switch. Because you want to extinguish the darkness. You want to get rid of the darkness out of the home, out of the house, and bring on the light. And it's only by confession that we overcome darkness. It's only by speaking out that light switches on. And I think recently and over these last couple of weeks on the reports, we see the bravery of the football players, of the historical abuse cases that's been going on. And with Andy Woodward, who's initially, brought it out into the light. I think they're brave, brave, brave men. And it was only by him being willing to step out and take the risk of potential humiliation and being ostracized that light's been switched on in the situation and being exposed. And the evil and the trauma of that can be dealt with, hopefully, in a righteous and just way. I remember Anna, my wife, make sure you know Anna, when she was married previously to her first husband in a 10-year abusive relationship of domestic violence, of being emotionally and verbally abused for 10 years of that marriage. And for her, she would say that just the sense of carrying shame and humiliation in that situation. And this was 25 plus years ago, in a time that actually in many churches, we didn't really talk about that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff doesn't happen in our church. Oh yes, it does. But actually it was only by Anna, actually through bravery, starting to talk to the right people that she loved and trusted and knew would walk through it with her, that the guilt and the shame and the humiliation could start to be sorted out. But it had to take confession. It had to take the reality of the situation to be spoken out. Otherwise, it's in darkness. And the enemy's job is to quieten us. The enemy's job is to keep us stumped, to shut us up, as we've heard from Liz this morning. You know, Theresa May recently on social media has actually been saying that Christians should be more vocal about their faith and about the season for reason. That's good. I like that. Reason for the season. Actually, it's Theresa May who's saying it. She's, as you would be well aware, I'm sure she's off, born into a family, a Christian family, whose father was a vicar himself. And she's saying, listen, Christians, speak up. Don't accept it. Don't accept that our schools are stopping and not willing to call it Christmas, but we have to call it the festive season. It's Christmas. It's Christ. It's the birth of Christ. It's the wonderful Saviour who gave up everything and who was sat at the right hand of the Father and was willing to come down here for 33 years and live amongst us. God, in his goodness, came as a man so that we can live in freedom from darkness and from sin. God's goodness isn't defined, isn't beholden to our circumstances, whatever we're going through. You know, when Anna was going through those 10 years of abusive marriage, God's goodness was still as good as what it is today, as what it was the first day she met her Saviour. God's goodness isn't defined by our circumstances. So often we get stuck and you know, sort of like, oh, how can God be good, you know, in this situation? And I don't know, how can it? Things aren't going well. But God's walking right next to us. He's walking with us hand by hand. A quick illustration, and I know time's going. Quick illustration is I remember Jack. I'm about to embarrass Jack. I was hoping he wasn't going to be in the room. But there you go. So Jack, we moved from Walsall to Oxford. And he was in year five, just going into year six. And we found him a school, great school down there. And all the excitement of moving into a new house, new area, etc. And then on the first day of school, here he is, 11 years old, whatever he was. And we come in the car up to the school. And Anna's like going to me, I'm going, Anna, can you take him? She's going, no, you take him, because I knew it was going to be a bit difficult. And so she won and I took him. And I'm walking down to the school with him. And there's Jack, you know, you all right, son? Yeah, I'm fine, I'm okay. And then he says, I could just see as we're approaching the school gates, his eyes starting to well up a bit, starting to get a bit emotional. So, sorry, son. It's a whole new day. It's a whole new classroom. He don't know anybody. 30-odd kids. It's daunting. I understand that. And there he is. We come up to the school gates and go towards the, you know, in the playground area, and all the kids are there. I'm like, going, are you okay? And he just, his eyes are full and red, and I'm going, son. I'm like, ah. And he goes to me, Dad, I can't do it. I can't go through this. I went, you've got to, son. You've got to. Everything inside of me as a father wanted to grab him, pick him up, take him back to the car and say, let's try again tomorrow. But I knew as a father, I couldn't do that. I knew as a dad, he had to walk through this day. And so I said to him, you okay? He went, no, I'm not. I can't do it. So I said, and I thought, I've got to save him from all the, you know, any embarrassment, whatever. So we said, come on, let's walk around the corner. As we got around the corner, he's still like that most days. But I said to him, son, we've got to do this. You've got to walk through this. You've got to get in there. You're going to do it. Yes, Dad. Okay, yeah. We wipe the tears away, walk towards the class. Again, we did this two or three times. But in my heart was breaking as a dad. And that actually, how many years ago that was, I don't know, 5 years ago, whatever it was, 6 years ago, it just gave me a little glimpse of what the Father is like for us. When we fought through difficult situations and circumstances that are a struggle to us. And the Father, the King of glory, our Saviour, his heart is breaking, but he knows we have to walk through it. Let's jump ahead to verse 12. It says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Thank you, Lord. You know, AD, when you said yes to Jesus, wherever you are, there you are. That was a covenant that was made between you and your Heavenly Father. And that covenant can never be broken. It can never be severed. In fact, you know what? Whatever we do in our lives, whatever we mess up, and we mess up, whatever we say or do, whatever we offend, the covenant will never be broken, AD. That's a covenant between you and your Father that will last for eternity. And you're walking the good of that every day of your life. Not because of your circumstances, not because of you feel good or you feel bad, but just the truth of it, it's a legal, covenantal making between you and your Heavenly Father. And today, I'd say to us, whoever you are, if you're here as a visitor, if you're here as a friend, if you're here as a neighbour, but you don't know God, today, choose to be a child of God. Choose to be a child of God. I remember when me and Anna got married. We think it was 20 years ago. Next year, is it? We're not sure. We're not sure on dates. We have to get the marriage certificate out every now and then, check it. Oh, it's what? Is it? I knew that. Only joking. Mate, I know. I just called you mate. I'm in trouble. Listen, when we first got married nearly 20 years ago, whatever it was, Anna had three beautiful children from her first marriage. Jordan, Livia, and Bethany. And I had the privilege of walking into their family and becoming father. And on the day of our wedding, I didn't know it, but, you know, we had the three beautiful children stepped a bit like this. Actually, it wasn't too dissimilar at this stage. And Livia was there with her big curly hair at the time, at the age of about three or something, with a little squeaky voice. Hello, how are you? And Jordan, I think he was about 6 years old or something at the time, something like 5, 6 years old. We did personal vows to each other, me and Anna did, and I did some personal vows to the kids. And Anna to this day says I took far too long, you know, it was all about me and nobody else. And Jordan, at 5, 6 years old, he turned around to me in front of all of our family and friends, a room full, the church full of people, and he said, Chipper, today we want to call you Daddy. From this day onwards, we want to call you Father. It broke my heart, didn't it, on my wedding day. And that is what happens when we say yes to Jesus. When we become a child of the living God, what you're actually saying is, God, I don't want to be you to be far off and distant any longer. But I want to taste and see that you're good. I want you to come into my life. And from this day forward, I want to call you Daddy. From this day forwards, I want to call you Father. Grace is costly. It led a man to the cross. And yet, it's grace that gives man life. It's grace that asks man to give up everything and to follow him. Yet it's grace that gives you the ability to give up everything and follow him. This is what I want to declare today in the midst of amazing political unrest and not knowing what's going to happen from day to day. This is what I want to declare. That Jesus Christ is ruler of all kings, all presidents, all chiefs and premiers and governors and prime ministers. Jesus reigns over all. Who's reigning in your life this morning? Who's king in your life this morning? If Theresa May was to say to Jesus, how could you rule over me? How could you, Jesus, rule over me? If she was to say, I have my office by election of the people of the UK, a sovereign nation, and by virtue of a constitutional inauguration and installation, Jesus' answer would be, I have my office as ruler over you by God's election, and by virtue of my death and resurrection from the dead, my indestructible life and my installation at God's right hand. He would say, I'm the King of Kings and I'm the Lord of Lords. And I just really want to invite us this morning. Who's your King of Kings? Who's your Lord of Lords? Who's the one that you're giving your life to? Who's the one that's giving you life? Who's the one that you speak to? Who's the one that you go to? His name could be Jesus for you this morning. Why don't we just maybe spend a minute, and as the band comes up, that'd be great if the band can come up. You know, what we're talking about this morning, I believe it's breathtaking. It's a breathtaking thought. to acknowledge and see that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's something that most people either don't believe in or don't think about a lot. In fact, I heard recently that at this time now, young people in this nation, the majority of young people in this nation, don't even believe that Jesus existed. They don't even believe that he walked on planet Earth. Don't even believe in him as a man, yet alone acknowledge and know his goodness and his love and his compassion for us and the grace that took him to the cross, the grace that he gave up everything. But in the heart of biblical truth, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and Jesus gives life this morning. If you want some of that this morning, if you want to put Jesus in the rightful place in your life this morning, why don't you just stand up? Just stand up. Just acknowledge him. It's King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life. Just stand up if that's you. When Jesus rose from the dead, God exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. That at that name, the name of Jesus, every knee might bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And that includes all the rulers and the kings of the earth. Jesus is alive today, reigning from heaven over all the rulers of the earth. And he reigns and rules over us this morning. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, I'd love to also give the opportunity, and many of us have stood here, and many of you, most of you I know, and I know many of you have been walking with the Lord for many years, but actually I want to give the opportunity this morning that if this is the first, second, maybe third time, I don't know, that you've heard something like this, but yet you haven't made that full commitment like Adi has this morning to say, yeah, actually, I want to put Jesus first. I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't fully understand it. Maybe you're thinking, and maybe it's the first time you've been in this church, but actually there's something that's stirred in you, whether it's through the worship, through the music, even maybe possibly what I've said. Then if that's you, why don't you just put your hand up nice and high? Put your hand up, because I'd love to pray with you as well this morning. Lord, just do it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. That's beautiful. Anybody else? Come on, Lord. Yeah, this is for you if you know you've not made that acknowledgement of faith. I see those hands. Thank you. Put them down. It's great. Bless you. If there's others, just want to give opportunity for... Actually, I feel there's one other. There's three of you this morning, I believe. If that's you, then just put your hand up and let's see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Maybe for the first time in your life, you'll say yes to Jesus. Come on, let's put our hand up. Who is it? Father, we love you. Jesus, we acknowledge you and know you as King and Saviour. You're amazing. There's none other like you. It's impossible. It's impossible that anybody else could be like Jesus. And it's impossible, you know, people, that when you come into and you enter into God's presence, it's impossible to go out the same. Because he's in the business of transforming lives. And this morning, those of you put your hand up, give God the opportunity to transform your life. Amen.